Paul Quigley joins us now from Manchester. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Simon. How are you doing?
I'm all right, me old codger. Just found out that Paul's a year older than me.
Yeah, I'm 22. He was 21 yesterday, weren't you, mate?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Again.
Yep.
Nice to speak to you. What we're thinking about is just as we're running up to Christmas, Paul, and we've all got different circumstances, but you know, it's nice to remember, I think, some of us who perhaps haven't got a lot of people around us, and you know, Christmas and New Year can actually be quite a lonely time for a lot of people, I think, in the blind and partially sighted community.
Absolutely. I think with, as you say, Christmas and the New Year is a time when a lot of people tend to hunker down in their houses, homes with their loved ones, or as you say, sometimes there aren't so many. If you get, particularly old people, I think the elderly and senior people who maybe their families have grown up and moved away, they tend to get isolated. And of course, with a visual impairment, it can make it twice as difficult, can't it, Simon?
Yeah, well, I mean, I actually, because we have quite a busy year, I actually don't mind spending some time myself at Christmas and New Year myself. But having said that, I think you've got to watch the mindset, because some of the films and things that are on there, obviously, they centre around family life and the ideal family and that sort of thing. And I think sometimes that can make you feel that's so different to the way I live now.
Yes, absolutely. And I think the thing is about Christmas, at the end of the day, it has become so over-commercialised as well that people seem to think unless you're being bestowed with millions and, you know, of objects and gifts and chocolates, that you're not having a good Christmas. Well, that's absolute rubbish, of course, isn't it? The whole spirit of Christmas was about, you know, goodwill and fellowship, really. That's how it actually should be. If you are on your own at Christmas, I think, you know, there's no shame in that. It's just the way it is. We all, you know, we come in and we go out with what we've got. So, you know, if we are able to share that experience each year with somebody, fine. But if not, then there's always a good book, isn't there, Simon, or something like that, or music that you can indulge yourself. Just pretend like the kids aren't, you know, they haven't grown up and moved away, that they are still around playing on the floor or something.
Yeah, I mean, there's that. And I think sometimes, you know, planning ahead a little bit, thinking, right, what am I going to do this year? And perhaps have somebody to call. Yeah. Or something like that. But it's a good point you make, though, isn't it? Because I think it has become very commercial, hasn't it? And it puts a lot of people under a lot of pressure at this time of year.
It certainly does. And it seems to really reinforce and highlight this, I'm not able to have a good time unless I'm able to flash loads of cash. Well, of course, in the age of food banks and austerity, you know, people don't have loads of money to just blow on. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people who seem to associate having a good time with alcohol, of course, which we discussed a few weeks ago in the Drink Awareness campaign. And of course, Christmas has always seems to be associated with sherry and Baileys and this sort of thing. That I think that kind of connection between alcohol, having a good time, Christmas, it can all feed into a sort of a downward spiral. And I think you have to be really careful that isn't what Christmas was. It was never supposed to be about that. It was supposed to be about a celebration of the year ending and a new one arriving. No matter what you know, religion you've got, it's all about a question about reflecting, I think, on the year that's just passed and hope for the new. And whether or not you're on your own or with people, I think it doesn't really matter. And just because you are maybe a little bit isolated, there is always the internet. I mean, in years gone by, Simon, we didn't have the internet. Now you can always, you know, if I'm not a big advocate of Facebook, but I mean, if that's where you can connect with, you know, a long distance relative, then maybe that's a good thing, and you're not quite as cut off as you think you were, Simon.
Yeah, that's actually a good point, because I have a Facebook account and I'm not a great user of Facebook, but I do like that whole thing where, I mean, my cousin, one of my cousins lives down near Cambridge, and although we don't talk very often, we got back in touch probably about 8 years ago, and every now and again, you know, I respond to something that he's put up and he'll respond to me, and there is that connection there. But what you've got to watch is that whole thing where people always seem to be wanting to portray the best Christmas ever or the best this ever, and then that can actually make you feel as if why doesn't that happen to me?
Yes, Yes. Well, that actually, that's not just a Christmas thing, is it? It's yep. throughout the year. People seem to think, oh, I went out on Friday night and I had the greatest time in the world. And it's this sort of Instagram filter version of reality, which is about as far removed from reality as it gets, as we all know. We all get aches and pains and illnesses and issues crop up throughout the year, financial issues a lot these days. So it's a bit of it's a mental band-aid that people put on to, they almost try to convince themselves that they're having a great time, not so much as the audience that they're trying to sort of broadcast it out to. So it's a bit of a band-aid there. I think that's a little bit of a signal that this person needs a little bit of help, actually, and maybe they're the ones that need a bit of company. So I think there's an inverse psychology going on there, Simon. That's my personal view.
I mean, I obviously, you don't see now, but the people that take pictures of their meals, I have a bit of hate with that. I'm sitting here, I've got Paulina sitting beside me, producer Paulina, laughing because she knows why. I was going to have a pizza recently. She said, oh, take a picture of it. And I was like, I'm not going to take a picture of my pizza for you.
Yeah, you are right. I think the triviality of social media drifting away slightly from loneliness, but I think it's all part and parcel of whatever floats your boat, I suppose, as long as your tongue is firmly in your cheek whilst you're texting or messaging.
And the thing is, I always find I get up to the end of the year and I haven't got enough shopping in. And it happens every year and I think, well, I've got enough to do me for a couple of days. And I think that's a thing to do, is to plan well for the times when, you know, medicines that you might need, plan in advance for that and have plenty of shopping and all that kind of thing. But to be honest, I'm no expert at it.
No, I don't think anybody's an expert at it, though, are they? Because it's every case is different and every situation is different. But I think the general principle is correct that, you know, planning ahead for this Christmas period, it may well be that deliveries, particularly for online deliveries, are fewer than they normally are throughout the year. That's possibly worth planning ahead for that, but a little bit of a contingency to get your baked beans and your whatever it is that you like in early, and so that you can get to the 2nd of January and beyond without getting caught short without a pint of milk from the corner shop at the very least. So, yeah. That's certainly something that people over this festive period who have visually impaired parents need to plan ahead, and I'm sure that most of them are. So, and the ones that haven't maybe got sort of on-site sort of carers or relatives that can do that for them, the internet again, if they haven't already got it, it's certainly something that they need to, or maybe they have a word with their social worker at the local council for about helping them out to make sure that they can plan ahead for those sorts of things, Simon.
And you think your circumstances have changed? I mean, you've only fully lost your sight in the last, what, say, 18 months or so?
Seems so, yeah.
Yeah, so again, this year you found some challenges with online shopping and that kind of thing. It does make things just that little bit more difficult, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely does. I mean, the whole new thing about the new RNRB slogan, see differently, that to me resonates, because it is about the rest of the world seeing us differently. So long as people plan ahead, I think they should be okay, and hopefully they won't be lonely over Christmas.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, and also I think a mistake some of us can make is to sit there and think, nobody's phoned me. Why does nobody phone me? And I think we can become a little bit inward looking and think, well, who have you phoned?
Yes. Well, the funny thing is about phone calls these days is, in the good old days when most people weren't even born, people did. That was the signal, wasn't it? People would phone people on Christmas Day and say, oh, happy Christmas or whatever, and New Year's Day. But even now, I don't know if you or other people or the listeners have noticed that the actual number of times that, other than business calls and you know, companies phoning you up, you don't tend to get anywhere near the number of phone calls that we used to do. It's mostly WhatsApp, texting, Facebooking, Twittering, you know, and those sorts of text messages seem to come through to updates. So not so much anywhere near the number of voice calls coming through. So I think there is a trend change there, that people just, even, you know, the most socialite people go and don't tend to get many phone calls either. It seems to be that, you know, you can get unlimited landline and mobile calls on your mobiles and, you know, your smartphones and what have you these days, but people aren't using them. I know I go nowhere near the amount. Well, I've got unlimited, and a lot of people do. It's almost like as much as you can eat phone calling, but people don't use it because it's almost too much. It's a data thing, isn't it, with the internet? Now you've got so many gigabyte of data per month. So it seems to be that people are are. You know, they've got their head down in the smartphones most of the day. They don't really talk. I mean, that again is a separate, maybe that's a subject for that we could talk about a different day, that people even, and for VI people, if you've got silent people sitting around you and they've all got their heads looking down to the ground or to their smartphones and you don't know that that's what they're doing, you might think that they're about the most untalkative bunch going. But this is the sort of the social change that's happening. It's a very, very interesting. And of course, for VI people who rely on their hearing when people aren't talking, that can sound very isolating, can't it?
It certainly can, yes. Mm. And I've got a couple of numbers here. If you're at home, you just think, you know, I do sometimes feel a bit down at this time of the year, then don't forget RNIB's helpline, which is 0303 123 9999, 0303 123 9999, and you can ask for a bit of support there, make some inquiries. And also don't forget the charity Red Cross. Now, they've done a lot in just befriending people over the last year, and they're always someone around there, and the number for that is 0344 871 1111. That's 0344 871 1111. And I was chatting with the Red Cross just recently about the service, and it seems incredible, you know, that even just having somebody there that you make contact with and who takes an interest in you. And we spoke to one gentleman, it changed his life at that period, because he was at a really low period in his life. So always things just to, there's always something there. You know, even when you think it's very lonely and you're on your own, you're never on your own. And
that's right.
There's ways around it. Did you used to be more of a partier in the early days?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think we all were in our 20s and 30s, etc. But then, you know, you tend to slow down as you get older. And then when your eyesight goes, it makes it even more of a challenge. But yeah, back in the day, you know, we've all been there, done that, bought the T-shirt and spilled a lot of juice down in front of it, didn't we, mate? You know what I mean? So not anymore. Yeah, I'm trying to keep a clean shirt. Have you noticed that white shirts seem to be a magnet for coffee? I've noticed that on my keyboard and the computer.
Any of my shirts are a magnet for anything.
Yeah, but yeah, we all used to be a bit of a party gal, didn't we? You and me, we were party gals when we was little, you know, down in Nottingham Way. Yeah, I remember you.
Anyway, before we descend into total madness, we hope that you're all having good preparations for this time of the year, and it's all coming good for you. And Paul and I just thought we would spend a bit of time gassing, and that's what we should all be doing over Christmas.
Yeah. And of course, there's always everybody here on RNIB Connect Radio over Christmas. We can always tune into that for a bit of company, can't they?
You certainly can. Yeah, we'll be keeping the fires burning. Anyway, Paul Quigley, always a pleasure to chat with you. We don't often come up with things that are very wise, but we like having a chat.
We do. Well, thank you very much for having me on, and I'll talk to you again soon, Simon.